Hallelujah.
Glory
Praise
God.
The Lord. Welcome to a study in the Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I done that the other day. I just kept saying glory to God. You want to get your joy raised up. That's the way to do it. Just
Amen.
Start saying glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My joy is on today. So praise the Lord. Welcome back to a study in the Word. This is study number 7 in our series, which is a study in the living Word. Number 7, today's title is God and His Word are One.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have today to study the Word of God. The Word that You have brought and placed on the table for us today to receive. We thank You, Father, as we set our love upon You this morning, that our hearts are open, our ears are open, our eyes are open, and we're ready to receive what You have for us today.
Amen.
Thank You, Father, for revealing Your heart to us this morning. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You have done.
Hallelujah.
You are the living Word of God. And thank You, Holy Spirit, for bringing forth revelation and for increasing our knowledge of Him. We give You praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. God and His Word are one. I could stop right there. But we're going to go back to our foundation scriptures, John chapter 1 and verse 1. Our foundation scripture is John 1, 1 through 5, or one of the two, and Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. But we're going to focus today on verse 1 and 2. We talked to some degree in our very first message about this, but as I mentioned at that time, we would be bringing these verses up throughout the length of this series at various times. And when you study the living Word, you've got to study God. There's no other way to do it. So we're going to go back to John chapter 1, verse 1, and use the Amplified Classic. And we're only going to use verse 1 and 2 in today's study. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. Not only is God Himself the source of the living Word, but the living Word is God Himself.
Amen.
God and His Word are one. You
Amen.
Cannot separate God and His Word. It's impossible to separate them because God and His Word are one. Read that again. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word. Now, I've got a danger here of me going off on that again, but I love that study. I loved talking about that. But we studied in detail in our first message, and that's available on our church website, RollaHarvest.org. Just click on the Sermons tab and scroll down to October 17th, and you'll find the first message. We talked about that in detail in our first message. But in order to understand the living Word and the fact that God and His Word are one, you've got to understand where it originated. Otherwise, you'll never understand it. And John chapter 1, verse 1, especially Amplified, is very specific. In the beginning, before all time. So the Word existed even before there was anything else. There was absolutely nothing in time, because time didn't exist, and there was nothing in eternity except God the Father, God the Son, the Word, and God the Holy Spirit, and eternity itself. That's all that existed in the beginning that God, that John's talking about. The Word was already there, because just as God is eternal, the living Word is eternal, and the Holy Spirit are eternal.
Amen.
Three specifically different personalities, but one. One God. You cannot separate them. There's no way to separate them. They function with different responsibilities and different jobs that they do, but they are all one, functioning all together at the same time. So that is where the word originated. It was before all time. Now that was Jesus' name back then. We say back then, but you can't say that because there was no time. But at the point that we're talking about, in the beginning, Jesus was not called Jesus. He didn't receive that name till he was born into the earth as a man.
Right.
That we have record of. But we do have record of him being the Word in the beginning. So not only is God himself the source of the living Word, and I'm going to keep saying the living Word because the Word is alive, but the living Word is God himself. They are one. Now remember, you cannot separate them. Mm-hmm. And throughout this study, we're going to have to keep that in our mind. That's why in the forefront of our thoughts as we study, because it affects the way we understand the Word. It affects the power behind the Word, and it affects whether or not the Word's going to work where we're concerned.
Amen.
The Word always works, but we have to activate it. But here's the other part of that. Not only is God and His Word one, but God and our Word are one. Most people do not realize that. The Word of the person is the person. It's everything that He is. What He says is who He is.
Amen.
The way God is the living Word, we are our own words. You cannot separate God and His Word, and you cannot separate man and His Word.
That's right.
Matthew 12:35, Amplified Classic. Jesus puts it this way. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things. And the evil man out of his evil storehouse flings forth evil things. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. Now that is what we call an absolute. Now I can walk around and say, well, I didn't really mean that. It was a joke. No, you said it. It's part of who you are. It's part of what you declared. It's part of what either God is working with in your life or the devil is working with in your life. You spoke it, so you own it. It's part of who you are. And again, I'll read verse 36 there. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to, or must, will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. Every word. I mean, that is a load. Every word you speak, you're being held accountable for.
Yep.
Not only by God, but by creation itself.
Amen.
But by the devil and all of his crowd, every word we speak has an effect. Every word. For by your words, whose words? I'm not being held accountable for my wife's words, although they affect me. I'm being held accountable for my words. For by your word you will be justified and acquitted. And by your word, you'll be condemned and sentenced. So what do I desire in my life? What do I desire to take place when I leave this earth? Do I want to be justified and acquitted? Or do I want to be condemned and sentenced?
Justified.
That's my choice. It's my choice. Nobody else's. The Word says that His Word is on our lips and in our heart.
Yes.
It says that He wrote His Word in our hearts. What are we speaking? Well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's still affecting you.
That's right.
You know, God's word is absolute truth, whether I believe it or not. It doesn't change it. It's absolute. Jesus is absolute Lord, whether I believe it or not. Jesus is not a religion. Christianity, real Christianity, is not a religion. It's not, although there are religious Christians that are working by law and really don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But they go to a Christian church and call themselves Christians. I'm not judging them. I'm saying if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not a real Christian.
You know, the church probably needs to be delivered from religion.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. We're not the same as other religions. Although the world looks at us that way. Mm-hmm. Even Christians themselves that call themselves Christians look at Christianity as a religion. And it's not. It's life itself.
Amen.
It's God Himself. Real Christianity is life itself. Real Christianity, because we're born of God. Therefore, we're alive because of Him.
Amen.
That makes us Christians, not by going to church, but because He's our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
God is absolute God. There is no other. Jesus is absolute Lord. There is no other.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is absolute Holy Spirit. There is no other. Whether I believe it or not, whether I accept it or not, whether I claim another religion or not, I still will bow at the cross.
Yep.
I will bow there. There's really two roads that lead to the cross. There's one that are His people and one that are not. But all roads, no matter which one you're on, will lead to the cross, no matter who you are. And every knee will bow at that cross because they want to, because they love God, because they've already bowed in this world. They will bow before Jesus at the cross. The others will bow because they have to.
Yeah.
They don't want to. They spent their life not believing in it, but they will bow at that cross. Those who know Him as Lord and Savior in this life will enter into their eternity with God through the cross.
Hallelujah.
The others cannot get through the cross. Mm-hmm. They will be turned away to hell.
Mercy.
But all roads lead to the cross. He's absolute. This is an absolute truth. It's absolute.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, where it says, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken, does that mean even if you're saved?
Yes.
Evidently.
This is absolute. That's why you're justified or acquitted. By my words, when I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, what's part of that? I have to declare. I have to speak. Words delivered me. Mm-hmm. Words set me free. I'm accountable for those words. If I'm not saved, I'm still accountable for those words. I didn't speak them. That's the problem there. But I've been rejecting Him all my life. I haven't, but there was a time.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Jesus.
Yeah, but the word itself justifies us or acquits us. My justification is in the Word of God. The words of my condemnation is in the Word, depending on what part of the Word I adhere to. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mother.
Well, even Christians, as Christians, I think what the question is as Christians to be accountable. We've said some mighty mean and bad things, even after being Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we have the opportunity to repent of that.
Yes. 1 John 1:9.
If people don't receive Jesus, their repentance won't help.
Right.
Because they have to be in Christ.
1 John 1:9 is not written to the unsaved.
But as Christians, we are free to repent, and even if we have to go to somebody and make it right.
Right.
Know.
But 1 John 1:9 is not written to non-Christians. It's written to the Christian.
Right.
What does it say?
1 John 1:9.
Says, if we repent of our sins.
If we confess our sins.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because even though we're righteous, we speak unrighteous stuff. Yeah. And he will cleanse us from that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah,
and you know,
and it's an ongoing process.
That is just a part of my daily prayer.
Absolutely.
Exactly, mine too. I just went blank for a second.
It is just so precious to know. You know, the night I prayed, I said, "Lord, I ask you to forgive me for lying today."
Mm-hmm.
And I laid the situation, which he already knew.
Yeah, well,
sure. Oh, yeah, that's not what he finds out about it.
But I'm telling you, it brought such release to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm.
Now, before you got born again, Brother Eldon, that wouldn't have mattered to you at all. You'd have just went on down the road and justified it.
Sure.
But you can't justify it because it's word you spoke. Right. Now, I have to add this because people apply thoughts to what they say. They're not the same.
Right.
Just because you think something doesn't make it your thought.
Yeah.
It's when you respond to the thought with an action or a word or some kind of an action, that thought's not yours. Even though it come from here, we walk into a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
Every day. The atmosphere contains other thoughts. You watch TV, a thought will happen. But what you do with that thought is what matters. I usually try to, at least in my mind, say that's not my thought.
Yeah. And another thing, too, is the way we take thought. Jesus said it several times in Matthew chapter 6. Do not take thought saying.
Right.
That's how we take a thought, is by speaking it out.
Yes.
Because that's our words then.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We can't do that.
You are responsible to deal with the thought that comes.
Yeah.
You can't just let it be idle and lay there. By doing that, you still have a responsibility towards it, and it will still affect you. But if you deal with it, either mentally rejecting it or putting something else in your mouth,
well, let me share this testimony real quickly, because I had to go through this with the Lord seriously about the words of my mouth. I'd been through a really crazy situation, and I said a lot of bad things. And the Lord spoke to me and said, do you believe, I was just meditating on this. I was in church at a prayer meeting just meditating on all these things. And the Lord spoke and said, do you believe I have a path for your life? Well, sure, Lord, you know. He said, your words, and Jesus says so in a couple of different places, the parable of the sower sows the word. He said, your words are seeds. Were you going to get to that? Am I jumping ahead?
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Okay. And when you speak those words, good or bad, they fly out and land in your path. And they're laying there like little landmines. And you come along and step on one of those things. And wonder what happened.
Mm.
He said, I don't have another path for your life. And I'm not taking you around them. I'm like, whoa.
But he will defuse them.
I bet
for
you can get out there and start digging them back up, though, and speak good words. And then when you step on them, you get a blessing. And don't really know where it came from. It's because I was sowing good seed.
Right. Everybody knows what a dandelion is. What happens when you step on
it's
one?
A weed.
Yep.
And that's the way our words are. They're seeds. And that in this very scripture, it says right here, the good man from his inner good treasure, and notice the difference in the hearts, the good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things.
Like sowing.
As you speak words, they're flinging them forth. And the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse. There's a difference between a storehouse and a treasury.
Right.
They both hold something. But if we're born again and we're putting the word in, our inner man is full of treasure.
Amen. Right.
The treasure of the Word, the living Word. But the person that either is a Christian and does not do anything with the Word, putting all kinds of wrong things in his thoughts and in his actions and in his words, when he does that, he's filling a storehouse. And there's a difference. A storehouse normally does not contain treasure.
Right.
It contains everything from junk to garbage to recycling. All kinds of things, but you can't recycle your words. You can only eliminate them. So it's important. It's important. So what we say is being flinged out. And Mother talked about those landmines, and I mentioned just briefly, I don't know if you heard it on Facebook or whatever, but if we go to 1 John 1:9 as believers,
yes,
we trust Him, we repent of what we treat it as a sin.
Yeah.
Because it is. And we confess what we said and how we did that to Him, then He defuses those landmines.
Hallelujah.
And even if we step on them, they're not going to do any damage. We might be responsible for fixing something that the Holy Spirit leads us in to do, but the damage is not going to be the same as when I step on it and it's not defused.
You know, one thing I've experienced is getting thoughts, having thoughts, but not to speak them.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
That's where faith comes.
That's when you take it.
Yeah.
When you speak it.
And so often, I've been in situations where a thought would come to me in a very difficult, critical situation, dealing with people in difficult situations, trying to counsel them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I tell you, God has through the years refined and given me wisdom with understanding, even to purify my thoughts.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and to walk with a purified thought pattern.
Amen. Yes. The Word of God renews our mind.
We're supposed to take every thought into captivity.
Yeah. And that's how we do it. The reason we take it into captivity is because we can't avoid the thoughts that are out there in this world. We can't avoid them. Mm-hmm. Some are up from our past. Some are not ours at all. But we have a responsibility to take authority over them. We have a responsibility to do the opposite of that thing. If it's a bad thought, maybe it's from your past, that you something you did, or a memory of something that happened that you... The devil kind of whispers in your ear, wouldn't you like to do that again? No, I would not like to do that again. You know, you say, no, I'm drinking all the alcohol I ever want. I don't want any. I'm delivered. Of course, I never did drink, but my dad did. So I know what happens there. He was a vicious alcoholic. But anyways, I don't want to go there. Do I ever think about it? Not really. I really don't. Because I've developed a habit of not. But early in my life, the thought was there because it was in our family. And I remember those things. It might be drugs. It might be a relationship. It might be whatever. It might be food. But you have to control your thoughts. You have the responsibility to do that. I have that responsibility. If I don't take authority over them, then I'm going to respond in the wrong way. I'm going to respond in a way that is not godly. And then I'm going to have to deal with that. It's much better to deal with the thought before it gets into the ground and starts bearing fruit.
You know, the Bible says that He has given us a sound mind.
Yes.
That
Hallelujah.
Is the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Exactly. We all have it. If we're born again, we have that mind.
Yes.
Yes.
No matter who you are, no matter what you think, no matter how down you are, you have a sound mind. You may not be working that sound mind.
Yeah.
It takes the Word of God to develop that sound mind. If you're not in the Word, if you're not governing your life by the Word of God, it's your fault. You're not doing anything to control that. Your other mind, your carnal mind, is at work. And we are the ones that determine that. We're the ones that justify. We're the ones that position ourselves to be justified and acquitted. Or we position ourselves to be condemned and sentenced. That's not God that does that. He set it out there. We decide which we want, knowingly or unknowingly. So this is very important. Because God and His Word are one, God and our words are one. We are one with our words. Man is one with his words. So we have to be careful of our words. If we're busy putting God's Word daily in our mouth, speaking it out loud, it will start a process of renewing our mind, of filling our spirit with that Word, being a reservoir full of treasure, because we're busy speaking the Word instead. When you want to get angry at somebody, do a loving thing instead.
Amen.
Speak a loving thing to them. Pray for them. Earnestly pray for them. And don't let that thought that you had in anger be issued forth. That's what he said when he said, don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Love is Satan's biggest fear.
Yeah.
He uses fear against love to keep us from walking in love.
And God has given us a faith that worketh by.
But he's given it to us. You know, it's ours, no matter who you are. It's available. It doesn't mean you're walking with it or in it. But you cannot separate the two. God's Word is alive.
Hallelujah.
And when we, especially as believers, speak a false word or a wrong word, we're applying our faith and our life that God's given us to that word that we spoke that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, it's going to develop quicker than what it would in the world. His people don't have life in them, but we do. So what we say is that it's vital that we control our thoughts and what we say. Because there's more power behind our words than there are the words of the world. If you were the devil and you were trying to get something done, would you go to your own people who have no life?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you go to the people who have life?
Uh-huh.
Because these people can get things done.
Right.
My people can't. That's what he's thinking. So he tries to deceive us into using our faith for his projects.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in our own life. And fear is faith. So he tries to get us to work in fear in our lives because it will produce.
You know, that's where it is so important for us as believers to have genuine discernment.
Amen.
Exactly. And discernment's in us.
Yeah.
We just got to activate it. Yeah. You know, there's nobody that's born again that's without discernment because the discerner's in us.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
But we have to call it up. Like Eldon says, we have to do something with that discernment. We got to desire discernment. Holy Spirit, teach me here. Show me. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where my words are wrong, especially. See, we develop habits. We're a people of habit. Either we're developing the Word habitually and walking habitually by the Word and by love as a habit, or we're walking the other way habitually by habit. Born again. We need to develop some good, godly, Christian, Word-based, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit-developed habits. And when we do these things and we start controlling our words in little ways, in the beginning in little ways, as it develops in our life, we're developing habits. Then when the enemy tries to bring fear or bring worry or bring these things to us or thoughts, it's already resident in us to do warfare with that. It's already resident in us not to accept it because our habit in life is to walk the love walk. We're habitually walking it. We're habitually thinking thoughts of God. We're habitually realizing the Holy Spirit's in me, teaching me. We're expecting Him to do that.
That's where we can have a faith that worketh by love and walk in the peace that passes all.
Yes, hallelujah.
But it's developed.
that it's so, I just so appreciate it, because I tell you what, if my own natural fleshly thoughts and mind were to control my life,
it would be a disaster. Be miserable.
Where would we be?
Yeah. It's some people just fly off the handle habitually, born again or not.
Yeah.
They just do, and they justify it.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't realize, they're going to have to be acquitted of that, or it's going to affect them in the end. It will condemn them. So, and probably will still go to heaven, I don't know, because sometimes you get far enough away in that crap that you wind up rejecting your walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you may still go to heaven, but you live a miserable life here. And you can't blame God for living that miserable life, because our own words are putting it out there.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything about it. And God's expecting us to take His word and deal with those things.
Right.
And you know, can I just interject this?
Sure.
This is one place where I am just so thankful for the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
To be able to just kneel and or just stand or drive the car, whatever, and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Oh, amen.
And just pray until,
amen,
until the Spirit has finished,
yeah,
what God's will is in the circumstance and situation.
Whatever it is.
And I just so appreciate
it. It's so awesome
much.
Because He's praying God's will concerning that.
Yeah.
Will, I don't know.
Yeah.
I may not know what's going on or how it's going to turn out, but He does.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's another person or a situation or whatever. Well, God's word is alive. God Himself is life. And I need to remember that. He is life. Since God and His Word are one, then God's Word is life. It's absolute life. If God is life, and He is, and God and His Word are one, then God's Word is life. Otherwise, He'd have a part of Him that was dead. Because God and His Word are one, then God and His Word are life.
Yeah.
It's absolute life. I got to put that absolute there. It's absolute life. There's no death, no darkness, none of that in God's Word. What God spoke, God and His Word are one, so it's absolute life. God's Word is absolute life. The living Word is like a seed. And we're going to study this further on in our series about the seed of the Word in detail. But we need to see it when we're talking about God and His Word are one, God and His Word is alive. We need to realize that it's a seed. And we talked about just a few minutes ago about how it's flung out there. But if you can envision that seed contains within itself everything it needs. And it will hold the life that it has within it for centuries.
Yep,
they've already
forever.
Proved that when they dug up some tombs way back when, they found some kind of a grain in there. They planted it and it grew.
Mm-hmm.
If you give a seed any area of possibility of bringing forth life, it'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in a little bit of damp space, it's going to start its process.
Yes.
Because a seed is designed and created to bring forth life, and that life is already in that seed.
Yep.
It doesn't become alive, it is. And it's holding that as a treasure within itself. Now, if you plant an apple seed, what do you get?
Apple.
You get one apple tree.
Yep.
Now, if you get one apple tree, what do you get?
Apples.
Tons of apples.
With lots of seeds.
For many years, with many seeds. But not just the seed. See, God takes care of you by giving the fruit as well to eat. So you have a tree, one seed, planted. All of those apples that ever were to exist are inside that one little seed.
Hallelujah.
Which came from a tree. So you plant that seed and you watch it and you take care of it, and you can't make that apple seed bring forth a tree? It does it on its own.
Mm-hmm.
You plant it, it starts sprouting within its process, whatever that, however long that process is, that one seed will start producing a plant. Somewhere along in that process, you'll get a little tiny harvest. One or two apples maybe, some blossoms maybe first, and nothing this year. But it will start, that process was started when it was put in the ground, but not really. It was started back there in the other tree,
mm-hmm.
and the other tree, and the other tree before that. That process has been ongoing all this time until this seed went in the ground. And now it's this seed's life in it, which is the same life as with all the other trees, the same life, still contained in that one apple seed, and that one apple seed's bringing that tree forth. And in a year or so, or whatever time the process takes, all of a sudden there's a fruit. It may not be very big, but it's a fruit. And in that fruit are more seeds, several. But you can pull that apple off, sustain your life, plant another apple tree with the seeds, and it will start the process while you're eating the fruit from this tree. Isn't that awesome?
Yes, hallelujah.
You know, being a forester, for many years I planted thousands of pine trees.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, when you go on top of the hill above Merrimack Springs, those pine on each side of the road, I was the one that was responsible
wow.
for getting those
wow.
planted. And then over on the hill, as you start down the hill, you can look over on the hill and there's a whole hillside full of pine. That over there was direct seeded.
How about that?
Just seeds, no
just
no
seed.
No saplings
yeah.
or anything.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
And so whether you plant the seedling or whether you plant the seed, the end result is pine trees.
Yep.
And what do pine trees do? They produce cones.
Cones.
Yeah, they have seeds.
That is, God said as long as there's winter, summer, and fall, there will be seed, plant, and harvest.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's God's way. All life comes from seed. But when you think about that path that one little apple took, and now it's yielding me an apple, but it's also yielding another tree. And how many trees are on that? How many apples over the many years that it exists? How many apples and apple trees will come from that one tree? That's the same. The reason I talked about all that is because that's the way God's word is.
Yes.
It started way back there. Say way back there, that's a reference to time, but at a
before
all time, it started God the Father, God the Son, the Word, and God the Holy Spirit, and eternity, nothing in eternity. No temple, no heaven, no nothing, just blank eternity, which wasn't blank because God is eternity.
You have no idea
when
the angels started popping
up. No, you don't know how long it you don't know when that all happened, but you know everything in heaven other than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and eternity itself, which is God. Everything else was created. That blows my mind. I'm going to study that for who knows how long. Because it's awesome. But that's the way the seed is. That's where the seed started in the heart of God way back there. And it's been producing ever since. And it will continue to produce. When God said, let there be, it is. Me, be. That's what he said. Because God is light.
Yeah.
Now we don't know when he said that, because eternity became the same way. That's just.
I try sometimes to just meditate on everlasting.
Never ending.
No beginning.
And
no
end. The only thing that I end up with is just having a greater thankful heart.
Amen. We need eternity to tell God thanks. It'll take that long.
But when we see the little seed, the flower seed, of whatever kind of seed it might be, we need to have that image of it's just not this one.
Right.
There's many before and many to come. And there's much fruit coming from this one,
yes,
which will produce more from this one life.
Amen.
And when we take a hold of God's word and start speaking it, that seed of the word already has life in it. And
yes,
that's what I'm talking about. The seed of the word is alive, and it already has everything in it that it needs and is required to bring itself to pass. Except, just like the seed in Pharaoh's tomb, it has to have a time of activation. Guess who activates it?
We do.
We do.
Amen.
Guess who activates the seed of the enemy? The
we
devil.
Do.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Jesus is saying here, by your word you'll be justified and acquitted, and by your word you'll be condemned and sentenced. When I speak wrong words out there and they start bringing forth wrong life or an evil life, like a weed, when that starts happening, I need to get the word of God and kill that weed. I have to be repentant, run to 1 John 1:9, and then the word, and speak the opposite of that word. Speak words against what I sowed. And God's word is full of love. So what am I speaking? I'm speaking love. It's so important for us, and so many people don't know. That's why the word says, judge yourself, lest you be judged.
Yes.
Because what you've done is going to judge you,
mm-hmm,
in this world and in the next.
I was driving along one day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me clearly. I mean, you know how when he speaks, sometimes you think you can actually hear it audibly.
Yeah.
He spoke to me and he said, my son, do you love me? I said, oh God, I love you.
Amen.
He said, to do right and not to do it, what is it? I said, it's sin. He said, look at your speedometer.
Oh, yep.
I was going down the interstate. I looked at my speedometer. I was going 78 miles. I was just traveling along with the traffic.
So. Yeah, sure. Exactly.
And so I was justified, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak.
Keep up with them.
I'll tell you what I did.
Yep.
I asked God's forgiveness. I slowed down. Yep. I set my speed control on 70. That was the speed limit.
Right.
And that's what I do every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get so developed, so in thought, even to the Lord, that you don't realize your foot's going down. And some people flat don't care.
You know when you're a lead foot.
Yeah. But
or a hard head.
It wasn't a law until somebody put a sign out there.
That's right.
Now it's a law.
But there's no law, there's no trespass.
You know, that's the way it is. And there's a lot of other things. But God's telling us right from wrong here. What do we do with our thoughts? What do we do with our words? If his word is alive and his life is in us, then our words are alive also. And they're going to bear up for the harvest. What harvest do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want strife in your home? Well, start being in strife. You're going to have plenty. If you want anger, then be angry. Whatever you sow, that and that only you will reap.
Oh.
And we're going to talk about that later on in the series again.
One of those things is called selfishness.
Oh, yeah.
That's bad. You're your own God, basically.
Moral nature.
Well, you think, well, it wasn't my fault, you know.
It's still self-centered.
Yeah.
you gotta correct yourself. It don't matter whether it was
my fault. So you see yourself in mine.
Yeah. I'm a little almost out of time here, but I want to interject this along with that. You know, when you are dealing with issues and problems with people, they get mad at you, and what they're mad at you for never happened. It really never happened. But they believe it did. You are still responsible to deal with it as if it happened. You don't justify yourself. I've got some of those things with a certain one of my children. They think I did something and I didn't. And sometimes it's things that they think you should have done that you didn't do. Mm. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. It's been going on for years and I have absolutely no idea what it is. We can't come up with anything. But it's something that he believes. So is it real or not? It didn't happen. But he thinks it did. I can't tell him that it didn't happen and be successful. Mm-hmm. But I can love him enough, and I've done this already. So far it hasn't changed anything, but I know it did, but not visible. But if I come to them and I say, I know there's an issue here. I don't say I don't know what it is. I don't go there. I don't open that up. I'm sorry. Whatever is wrong, I repent of that. I take account of it. I don't justify myself. I don't defend myself. I am asking for your forgiveness. And in like kind, I'm forgiving. Forgiveness is a two-way street. Mm-hmm. You've got to forgive and be forgiven. You forgive even if they never forgive you. Mm-hmm. You are responsible to do the loving thing, no matter what it takes. Mm-hmm. You cannot justify yourself and say, I didn't do that. If there's a communion going and he really wants to know, now you can discuss it because they really want to know. And they're bringing themselves and you're bringing, now you can discuss that. But if that's not the case, if there's anger and bitterness or whatever it might have developed into, it is deception.
Yes, deception.
But the enemy would like nothing better than me to go in there and start defending myself.
Oh, yeah.
Now what happens? A hedge goes up, he's not hearing you, you're digging your hole deeper than it was before. There's no way you could ever convince them that you didn't do it because they believe you did.
You did, yeah.
So whether or not it's correct, it doesn't change it. It's still there. The fact that they believe it makes it real to them. Mm-hmm. That's where we fail so many times when we get in a situation where there's an issue like that. We try to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't defend himself. Mm-hmm. Neither did Peter or Paul. They just spoke the word. Then the angel comes, loosens all the bands, but they walk right out in front of the guards. They don't even see him. And the angel then leaves. The next day, they're back in the temple preaching again. Mm-hmm. That's the way we have to do it. We cannot successfully defend ourselves. And not the fact that you get walked over, but what happens to love? Love never fails. Mm. You can't defeat love. Mm. And I'm not defending myself because I'm loving him. I want him to go free. I want him to know. I want him to be, if it never comes up again, I will not try to justify it, what I did, other than say, I did not knowingly hurt you. I did not on purpose do that. I would not. Mm-hmm. But it's obvious something is here. So I repent of that.
Amen.
I ask your forgiveness. Now that's the reality. You're going to get further there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy hasn't got no ammunition. And they come, yeah, but what you did, it doesn't matter. I still apologize for that, whether it's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
Oh, yes.
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 Because that's the only way that you can come before the Father and be justified in your actions, because you think the best of every person and take
Amen.
No account of a suffered wrong. That's the Love Walk Amplified Classic.
And just think, that's what Jesus did.
That's
Absolutely.
What he did.
On every person.
Not just those in front of him.
In the future.
All of them.
Every person.
Hallelujah.
You know, and that's our example. Now, can we do that successfully all the time? No. We're going to mess up. But that's what 1 John 1:9 is there for.
Amen.
To walk in forgiveness and walk in healing and restoration.
And can you imagine Jesus experiencing the weight of every mankind's sin, past, present, and future. Preparing to go to Calvary's cross, and he cries out to his Father, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
Yes.
And he goes to the cross, sheds his blood, purchases for every person the free gift of eternal life.
When he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Yes. Amen. And when we receive him, the Holy Ghost reconciles us through the shed blood of Jesus back to the Father, just as if we had never sinned.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Oh, Father, we thank you so much. Oh, we so love you, sir. We thank you that our love is increasing day by day, moment by moment, because of the great love that you shed abroad in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Father, for this word we received today. We thank you, Father, that the seed of the word is alive in us and it will bear fruit. We thank you, Father, for forgiving us for those things that we may have said or spoke or done that have been wrong. We repent of those and we know that you are faithful to your word and you've forgiven us of those things. We thank you, Father, that our future is in you. We thank you, Father, for the service that lies ahead, for the word that will come forth here and throughout, around the world. We thank you, Father, for the joy of being in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.